Welcome to Gen Z Hoops, the Gen Z basketball, coaching, and sports business show.
All right. What's going on, guys? Welcome back to another episode of the Gen Z Hoops podcast, live from Bristol Gym at Hobart and William Smith Colleges. And I'm joined by a very special guest today, Brooke Jarvis. Brooke, thank you so much for coming on the show. And how are you doing today?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
I'm good. Can't complain. You know, just like kickstarting the morning today.
Right.
So I like to open up our little discussion here. Could you tell me about your connection to the game of basketball?
Yeah, I've been playing since I was a little kid. My dad actually played here way back in the day. And my brother played when I was growing up, so I would always spend like weekends in the gym, and I just wanted to get into it too. So yeah, I just have always loved it.
Did you ever watch it like NBA, NCAA, or anything like that?
Not when I first started, because I was like super little, but as I started getting more into it, I was definitely more into like watching the games. My dad has always had season tickets to the Syracuse games, so I would go to those when I was little, and that was always really fun.
Oh man. So I know like the WNBA was never really like, is becoming more popular. Did you ever resonate more with NBA players growing up, or those women like Lisa Leslie or any players like that in the WNBA?
Honestly, I didn't really watch much of the NBA until I was older, or WNBA. I really only watched college as much, but seeing the older college girls when I was a little kid was definitely like a big inspiration, yeah, especially at Syracuse.
I totally agree. Like, I have a little sister at home. She's 5 years old now, actually turned five a couple weeks ago, but I always like have her when over winter break. I had her watching you guys' games. I really want her to play as well.
That's so cute.
Yeah, so she watched Brooke Jarvis, 1,000-point scorer, William Smith basketball combo guard, all in her free time. So let's take it back to high school. You attended Christian Brothers Academy, where you're a 5-year varsity letter winner. Over the course of those 5 years playing varsity basketball, what changed most about your game, and what did you learn from that experience?
I think over the 5 years I was playing, at one point or another, I had to play every single position. So that really helped me just get comfortable in different positions and work on different aspects of my game over the years. So that was super big help coming into college. And yeah, I think also going into it so young in eighth grade, I had like no expectations for myself. I was just kind of happy to be on the team. So I kind of played like super loose, and that helps my game always. So the years after that, I just kind of kept getting better and better.
Yeah, I totally agree. Going back to like what you were saying about playing multiple positions, we saw that a lot this year. As like before the interview actually started, a lot of your teammates like weren't available this year, so you had to go from playing the guard to now the center. Can you talk a little bit about that experience at the college level?
Yeah, I played a little bit of forward over the years in college, so it wasn't completely new, but definitely played a lot more of it this year, especially the first half of the year. Playing the guard spot more was a little bit of a transition halfway, but I like playing a center, so it was fine for me to move into that role when the team needed it.
Really? You like playing center? I know a lot of guards like to sit out like on the wing, catch and shoot, like get into their handle, get into their bag a little bit.
Like, yeah, I like playing the guard. I mean, if I had to pick, I would play guard, but playing the center I enjoy too. So I'm not a huge three-point shooter anymore. So my game is kind of more in the paint anyways, even when I am at the guard spot. So it was an easy transition.
Yeah, I totally agree. So back to your time at Christian Brothers Academy, you also received honors such as 2-time All-CNY selection, 4-time All-League selection, League Player of the Year, and you also graduated as the school's all-time leading scorer. Looking back at these accomplishments, what comes to mind, and how have they motivated you to get to where you are now?
I think in high school, kind of going back to being on the team in my eighth grade year, I was, to be honest, at that age, I didn't even know about any of that stuff. Like, I don't even think I knew about the 1,000-point club.
You're just trying to hoop.
Yeah, so yeah. It was like I was just trying to have fun with it, and I wasn't thinking about that stuff, which turned out to be a good thing, because when I did get them, it just felt like a bonus, and I just didn't have a lot of pressure on myself. And then coming here, I just kind of wanted to do the same thing. By the time I finished my career at CBA, I was definitely proud of myself for stuff I did, and I kind of wanted to just keep it going.
Did you ever as you started gaining these accomplishments and achievements over the course of the years, did you ever get like a source of, I know like I'm supposed to be like professional, but like source of clout in a way around the hallways?
Yeah, it was fun to like have a big game and people will come up and be like, oh my gosh, Brooks, that was definitely fun. But the best part about it high school wise was my last couple of years, my team was really good. And that was like the most important thing that made it 10 times more fun.
Were the crowds big at your old school?
It depends. It's kind of like here where we have like double headers. So people will come like halfway through our game and start.
You guys have more fans for your game than our game last week.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, man, we can't get any love. Like, come on, man.
Some days it's empty. Some days there's people here. You never know.
Yeah, I know what you mean. So coming out of high school, what was the recruiting process like, and what made you ultimately decide to attend Hobart and Williams-Smith?
I think when I started the recruiting process, I was more worried about academics than basketball, for sure. I ended up narrowing it down to some great D3 schools, like good programs and good academics. I had a lot of good choices. When I came on my visit here, like I said, my dad went here, but he never really like pressured me into like trying to come here or anything like that. So I came on my visit here with him, and they always say like they'll get like a gut feeling that like this is the place to be, and I definitely experienced that. Like I left the visit knowing I wanted to come here, so I just made the decision.
So you never had a realization like when you were in high school, like after you had a big game or something, like, oh man, I'm going to the league, oh man, I'm going D1, oh man, I'm going to drop 30 on like Kentucky or something like that?
Honestly, no. I didn't really know what to expect going into the recruiting process, you know, having played AAU for all the years and everything. But yeah, I just kind of was seeing who reached out to me and going from there.
Who'd you play AAU for?
Syracuse Royals.
Okay.
Yeah.
What circuit was that?
Now they're in New Balance. At the time they weren't. Oh, wow. And it was more of a...
like local thing?
Yeah, I mean...
it's like a zero gravity type of thing.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, we would like go to a few big tournaments, but we weren't like in a specific circuit.
Okay, definitely. I know, I definitely, going back to that gut feeling, I definitely know a thing or two about that. Like midway through my senior year, like I got hurt, so I wasn't able to like get fully recruited or anything like that. So then I had John Mark on our team. Like we actually played AAU together, and we actually went to Salisbury together. So like he kind of told me to like get in touch with coach and come visit the campus. And yeah, it's actually a wonderful place. I really like it a lot. Good social life.
Did you come on a sunny day?
I came in May, yeah.
So that really makes a huge difference.
You guys had a big Saturday.
Oh yeah, that probably, I think, coming on a sunny day really makes a big difference. On a rainy day, every school seems like gloomy.
Yeah, most definitely. I thought it was like a big campus at first, but it's really not. Like, once you know how to maneuver yourself around. Mm-hmm.
It's nice.
Yep. So your first year at HWS was the year the season was canceled due to the COVID-19 pandemic. What was your experience like during this time?
Well, that was a pretty rough year for sure, being a freshman, and I didn't have a roommate. So I just kind of was like in my room by myself a lot. Yeesh. But we had practice and like lift and different training stuff. So it wasn't like we were doing nothing. And we had two exhibition games. Mm-hmm. But besides the fact that it was pretty like lonely and not a great transition into college, basketball wise, it kind of was a blessing in disguise. I would have obviously loved to play, but I don't think I was prepared for the speed of the game that year. And so when I came into it, even just at practice and stuff, I was like, all right, I need to kind of work on my fitness. So I definitely worked on that going into the next year, and that was like a huge change maker for my game.
Was it, did you ever experience like it being tough to get in the gym on your own? Like now we can just like come in here whenever we want, like grab a ball, get out the shooting gun, like put shots up. But like, was there ever like a scheduled time back then for you guys to like get in the gym?
Yeah, I don't think we could rarely get in the gym because a lot of times we would get shut down for a couple weeks because like someone gets contact with COVID or like has COVID, then you have to get shut down for 2 weeks every single time and then like restart. It was like phases.
Yeah.
Like first you can do like no contact, and then like after a week, after so many weeks, then you can start to like do passing drills and stuff like that. So it was tough for sure.
And practice was a lot of like shooting drills, passing drills, a lot of like non-contact stuff. And you have to wear the mask, right?
Yep. The mask. Yeah, we even had to wear the mask some into the next year too, a little bit.
Until the mandate was passed, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was rough. I remember that was my first year at Salisbury, so that was my, let's say, sophomore year of high school. I remember we would there was a thing called athletic pods or something like that. So like we couldn't get in the gym, we had to wait until like the pods, and it was like all non-contact. We had to be like separated, like different baskets around, like putting shots up, wearing the masks. And then like we would all to go put in like extra work, it would be freezing because this is Connecticut. So we'd go like outside to see like the ice shards like on the grass and stuff like that.
Oh my gosh.
In our shorts, just like putting shots up in the morning, like foggy.
I can't imagine high school having like your last years being post-COVID. That's crazy.
Oh no, it was great post-COVID. But like during COVID, you have to find the bright spots. Like I remember we had like room service where all like our teachers had to bring us like the meals to the dorms. So it would be like really, it was, that year it was like a really bad winter, I remember. So I was like, I'm kind of like a jerk in a way. So I would kind of like order the food on purpose when I know like my assistant coach or something like
that.
Hey, shout out Coach Avery, man. Shout out Coach Avery. He's a good guy, man, for this. He would like, I would literally order on the app like tenders. I wouldn't even be hungry or anything like that. He'd have to walk all the way across campus in the snow and bring that all the way back to my dorm. And I'll wake up, I'll be like, yeah, thanks, man. He's like, can I get one? I'm like, nope. Slam the door in his face. But yeah, that I'm sure you're better than me with that, right?
I never had a delivery service, unfortunately.
What was Saga like back then?
They had like the food in boxes, like cardboard boxes. It was so bad. Imagine Saga now, but.
But it's good now. I know people say it's trash.
No, it's not that bad. It's actually not, but it was really bad in the boxes. Like it was really, and then eventually they put like plastic dividers on all the tables.
Oh, so oh my God. It's
like see me PTSD. Talking to your friend.
We used to pick those things up and throw it on the floor.
Yeah, eventually people started doing that. But at first it was scary because there was like really like, there was discipline for not following the COVID rules. Like harsh at
first. It was too, but. I'm sure college is different from, man, if any of my teachers watch this, like, I was a good kid, don't get me wrong. I was good, don't worry. I'll just drop it there. So, going on to our next point. So, your rookie year, which was, like, the post-COVID, the first year post-COVID, you averaged 17.6 points per game, 7.6 rebounds per game, and won honors such as Liberty League Rookie of the Year. Going into this year, because it was your first year actually playing, what was your mindset going into this year? And what was the experience like fully adapting to the level of play at the college level?
I think kind of similar to when I started playing on the high school team, I didn't really know what to expect. So, and that's always a good thing for me because I'll just play loose and confident and just try to do the best I can. So that's kind of the mindset I went into it with. I obviously had the year before, so I was like pretty familiar with kind of the level of play, but not to the full extent of being in season.
Right.
And I had some great like players on my team and stuff that were really great to play on the court with. So, I just kind of went out and did my thing as best as I could, and it ended up working out pretty well. Wait, what was the second part of the question?
Oh, what was it like adapting to the level of play at the college level?
So
I can edit all this out.
Okay. I think like the fitness thing was, like I said, probably the biggest transition, but I felt pretty much prepared going into the season to be in shape for that, coming off of the summer. I think the one thing though with like your first year is that like no one's scouted you and stuff. So at first you're having like these big games because nobody really knows what to expect. And then like halfway through the season, once you get to league play, you could kind of see people are like packing in the paint or whatever it is that you do that they're prepared for. So definitely had to start being more cognizant of that and just trying to switch it up a little bit.
I know fitness is definitely like a big part of it because the speed is different. I know when I was getting recruited, like going to all like these camps and showcases, talking to like these different coaches, they would always tell me like how fast they play. They try and play like an up-tempo type of pace. A lot of like run and gun, layups and threes. Was that what your coach preached like during your first year?
Going into my first year, like my sophomore year, we had Liv Parisi on our team, who was like one of the best players in the league, and she's like a forward. Her game is mostly just under the basket. Mm-hmm. And then we also had Lauren. She also was like the same kind of thing, post player. So a lot of our offense was really centered around the post at that time, and I think they were kind of coming off the same thing from the year before COVID. Mm-hmm. So that was really kind of the main focal point of our offense, was trying to get into the post and stuff, or get into the post, get it back out kind of thing.
Oh, most definitely. So coming off your rookie season, going into your sophomore season, which was the 2022-2023 season, you averaged in that season 15.1 points per game, 7.1 rebounds per game, and got honors such as All Liberty League second team, and you were ranked third in the league in scoring. That's crazy. But so going into that season, what did you work on most during the offseason to prepare?
I was working on a little bit of everything. I go to my trainer at home, Billy Edelin. He used to play for Syracuse, mm-hmm. like in the 2003 championship team.
Oh,
so
wow.
He's like,
you play with Melo.
Yeah.
Dang.
He's a great trainer, and he's like huge on everybody knowing how to dribble, and like kind of everybody playing like a guard, kind of where the game is more leaning towards now. So I always work on that stuff with him. I go there like a few times a week in the summer. I think I was just trying to keep improving on the stuff that I was already doing. Definitely my three-point shooting, I wanted to try to bring back up and stuff. So, yeah, I just kind of worked on the same stuff. I didn't really have any set things I was trying to figure out.
That's good. I mean, the off season for every basketball player is like a great time. You get to experiment different parts of your game, like things you really wouldn't be like doing most of the time in game, like working a handle, maybe like a transition move between behind, something mm-hmm. like that. What did you find enjoyable most about that experience?
I definitely always like trying new moves, and I'll work on it a million times, and then I still can't get myself to do it like in practice or even in pickup, because mm-hmm. I just feel like I have to do something a million times to perfect it.
Yep.
It's always fun. You know, I've tried to do some little fun moves, like different stuff I probably wouldn't normally do. But yeah, I always love the summer, having time to just try different stuff.
And since we were on the topic of your three-point shooting, I would see you have a top-of-the-key three wide open so many times in the game, and I'd be like, shoot it. Why didn't you shoot it?
I don't know.
I mean, you just...
I'm asking myself the same question.
I mean, you would dribble in and, like, bully the hell out of, like, anyone under the rim and lay it up. So I guess it cancels out.
Yeah, that's something I'm going to try to work on.
What, the physicality aspect? Oh. No. You got the physicality aspect down on lock. You're good. So on January 6th, huge day for you, huge day for the program. You know what it is, right?
Yeah.
You know what it says? Yep. You surpassed 1,000 points against Ithaca. Could you talk a little bit about your mindset going into that game?
I was definitely a little nervous, because when I got 1,000 points in high school, I played terrible, because I was just so nervous. And we ended up losing, so I didn't want to have that happen. I tried to like calm myself down a little bit and just kind of play, but I was really struggling to finish at the beginning of the game. And then we played Ithaca, so they're obviously like one of the best teams in the league. Mm-hmm. So we were down by a pretty good chunk by halftime. And I just thought to myself, okay, let me just chill out and try to get this done with so I can just play.
Yeah. Did you ever think it was going to be like LeBron's stop the game, have it on the Jumbotron, you wave to the crowd or something like that?
We actually did stop for a second, because my teammates were so excited. They came out on the court a little bit, and the other team got a fast break layup. So, but you know what?
It cancels out.
No, the coach is super nice at Ithaca, and like, I think he honestly was a little bit mad. I'm not sure. He called a timeout right after that layup. So I think he honestly was like kind of mad that they.
Also, he knew. He knew that was like the 1,000 point, you think?
Well, everyone on my team was like jumping up and down, cheering and screaming. So it was, I think he didn't know.
Do you recall the play, like, and what you like you scored it on?
Kind of like the same thing as the other day. Back to basket, post up.
Oh, we'll get to that.
You know, layup. Keep it simple.
We'll get to that. And did you know? I'm a guy with analytics. Like, you see me on the bench since I'm not playing this year, but you were the only Heron to score 1,000 points in less than 70 games. Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
70 games. You did in 68. No one else has done it under 70 games.
That's kind of cool.
And you only played 3 years of college basketball, like real college basketball in games.
Yeah, that's cool.
You don't, there's not like... Come on, I know you're not like a hoorah person, but can I be like, yeah, I'm the greatest to play here or something like that?
I'm not going to say that. There's a great players that play here. But I mean, that's cool, though. I didn't know that. So thanks for finding that out.
Yeah, I'm trying to get some like lines here for the captions here. You're not feeding into the clickbait. Come on. So this, like you mentioned, this past weekend was a huge weekend for you. You guys took down the nationally ranked Vassar by way of a game winner, and your senior night, which was the next day against Union. So let's start with the game winner. Down one against a nationally ranked opponent, you get the ball in the post, make the layup with 3.7 seconds left on the clock. Was that the play that was drawn up in the huddle? Can you take me through that last possession?
It was a variation of the play that was drawn up. It didn't go exactly to plan, but it worked out. We just kind of took one of our regular sets and then just had me go post up off like one of the screens to just, I don't know, there wasn't a lot of time. So, and their big girl had already was in like foul trouble and stuff. So, just try to get in the post. And I was like jumping up and down in the video, like, give me the ball. And Kirsten threw me a great pass. I wasn't really like as open as I would have liked to be, but she threw a great pass. So then I just drop step and layup. It's kept it simple.
I remember we were all waiting there because we were downstairs and we checked the score, and then we saw you guys were like really close, and it was like a hype game because like, I think they were on like a 25 game win streak or something like that.
Yeah,
like that was insane. And that was the first time in like 12 years that William Smith has beaten a number one, like a nationally ranked opponent. So I thought that. So that was
really
cool. Yeah,
I saw that in the article too. I didn't know that.
Yeah,
it was cool.
I saw. Yeah, when I was like looking back at the tape, that's what they said on the caption as well under the video. But yeah, we were standing right there. And I remember they were swinging the ball. We were all looking at the clock. And we were all screaming like, "Give her the ball! Just give her the ball!" Even though you were double teamed, I think you caught it right on like below the elbow, like between the first and second hash mark over there.
Yeah.
And then spun off the double team. Got a nice lefty layup for the win.
Yeah.
So it was like designed to go to you, right, at the end?
Yeah, if we could get it in there. If not, just kind of.
No, don't hoist it through.
Do something.
What? Can you believe like they smoked the last second layup at the end over there? Like she had a wide open
shot. I
was nervous.
Yeah, she's a good player too. We were kind of lucky that she missed that for sure, because she's a good player and that's definitely her shot.
In my experience playing, like, in those clutch situations where everything, like, kind of moving in slow motion, kind of.
Oh, yeah.
Especially when she shot that last shot, like, the ball kind of seems like it's, like, floating, kind of, right?
You're just watching.
And you're like, oh, man, is it going to go in?
Yeah, it was definitely nerve-wracking, but luckily
she missed.
I totally
agree. So, aside from the game winner, let's go to the next day, your senior night against Union. So, going into your senior night, what were the emotions like?
It was definitely sad because this has been my team for the last 4 years. Seeing like my undergrad go by so quickly was crazy. But I was excited. You know, we came off a good win the night before. That was a great way to finish out. So, yeah, it was a lot of emotions, but it was a fun day.
They said the twins, Ava and Gianna, they were trying to tell me like when I was preparing for this, I was like, man, like she didn't look like sad. She just looked like pissed off. Like, I don't know why she's not celebrating. I was kind of like that's just me. I'm just like talking garbage.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, she was just trying to like hold it back. She was just trying to like get through the game.
I did say I'm not going to cry today.
I was expecting a little like another like wave to the crowd because they said, give it up for Brooke Jarvis at the end. Like, you didn't give him like take the game ball and be like Kobe. And
I don't do that stuff. Can you imagine? Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I mean, what was
that? Bye, folks. Thank you.
Yeah, like that. You grab the mic. You're like,
grab the mic is crazy.
Brooke out. I'm done.
Or you
could have been like, I've done it all. I give it all that I have.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
I put my blood, my sweat, my tears into this game. And then the rewards
like, ma'am,
are endless. Could have been like LeBron. You're like, what he said after the 2016 NBA championship is what I'm like reciting right now.
Maybe one day when I get to LeBron level, I'll do a speech after my game.
You could say you're like LeBron walking around here, though. Everyone like chanting, yeah, bro. At the games, I'm like, dang, who is that? When I first came out, like, who are these people talking about? I'm like, oh, that makes sense. Okay. So, we went through the past, which was high school, the present, your college career. Now that's over. What are your future aspirations for the rest of your career and your life? Will we see a fifth year?
Yes.
Ooh, a fifth year.
I just don't know yet where or what's going on. I'm kind of just playing it by ear with that right now, but I'm definitely playing. I always knew, like, since I started playing here, I'm doing a fifth year. I'm not going to be done playing basketball until I have to. You have to drag me out. But, yeah, I don't really know yet. Obviously, my season just ended, so.
Just enjoy the spring.
Yeah, well, I'm going to start, you know, going through that process, but I just wasn't really doing it while I was in season. So now it's kind of like, all right, what's next? But we'll see.
What do you want to do for, like, after basketball, let's say? Like, what do you want to get into?
You know what? I really don't know. I'm a writing and rhetoric major.
Okay.
But I'm not really, like, into doing journalism or a lot of the stuff that a lot of people go into. Mm-hmm. I did a sales internship last summer.
Nice.
So we'll see. I don't know. I really don't know.
Well, before I wrap this up, Brooke, as a little gratitude for coming on the show, as like previous Gen Z Hoops guests have had, you have your own Brooke Jarvis times Gen Z Hoops merchandise now.
Socks?
You have your own face on a basketball. How about that? That's LeBron level.
Oh my gosh. These are so funny. I love these.
That's
thank
LeBron
you.
Level. No problem. Well, I wish you the best of luck with the rest of your career. And thank you so much for coming on the show again.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Anytime. How was that?
It was good.
You like the socks, actually?
I love these. This is so funny.
Thanks for listening to Gen Z Hoops. Make sure to follow, like, and subscribe on Instagram, LinkedIn, and all major social media platforms at Gen Z Hoops. You can tune in and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, and every other podcast platform on the planet. Get ready for the next episode.